Oh, that must mean it's time for me to start. So, who was the Son of Man? He would say of himself, Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And what was the message of the Son of Man? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." Now, who would have ever thought that this wandering, homeless, itinerant preacher was a king? But he used the same self-designation, which was without a doubt his favorite self-designation, Son of Man, that we heard in our first reading, in Daniel's prophecy, about how he saw one like a Son of Man coming. And this Son of Man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Now, the Aramaic phrase that this Son of Man comes from originally meant merely man. And so when Jesus calls himself Son of Man, he's saying, "I'm a man. That's who I am." But in the prophecy of Daniel, Son of Man, in the understanding of that term, took on a broader meaning. Son of Man was the one who was to be the leader, the representative, and the exemplar of the holy ones of the mighty God. In other words, the righteous, those who were leading holy lives. This Son of Man would be, as man, their exemplar. A man, a human being like them. As man, he would be their representative. But most importantly, he would be their leader and their ruler. And this is why we hear this very curious second reading, where we hear about he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Another translation says, they will beat their breasts. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, Jesus says this. He says, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So why does Jesus say that they will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory? Why does the book of Revelation say that they will lament when they see him, even those who pierced him? Because Jesus was supposed to be their leader and their exemplar. He was supposed to be their king, and they didn't see it. All they saw was a wandering man who had nowhere to lay his head. They did not hear his message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." They will mourn and they will lament when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of glory. He warned them. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." And he was not listened to. And so they mourn and they lament. Jesus would talk about the kingdom many times. But in one parable that he tells about a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, the parable ends with this. "But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, Jesus closed this parable by saying, many are invited, but few are chosen. What is that wedding garment anyway? The writers of the Gospels understood that wedding garment to be new life, a changed life, a life that responded to the call to repent, a life that meant turning away from the dominion and the reign of sin and turning to the King, Jesus Christ. That was the wedding garment, was the new life that one wore as sign of that repentance. But the scary thing in that parable is that some were there at the wedding banquet who did not have a wedding garment, which is necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is close at hand. Jesus warns us, he says, repent. This kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Today we acclaim Jesus as our King. And if we want to share in the glorified humanity of the Son of Man that we hear described so vividly in the Scriptures, then he must be our King, personally. He must be the one who rules our lives. To the glory of Christ the King forever. Amen.